Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. We read today from St. John chapter 8, verse 52, these words of Jesus. Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. If Jesus were to appear in person and begin to preach, he would likely be driven out of most respectable churches. He breaks the rules of religious niceness. Listen to what he says. Just reading through John chapter 8, you have Jesus telling the Jews that if they do not believe that he is God, they will die in their sins. He says that they are slaves to sin, and he's the only one who can set them free. He says they are children of the devil and do not belong to God. He calls them liars. No, Jesus would be thrown out of the ecumenical prayer group for a decided lack of niceness. And that's because Jesus takes theology seriously, and so should we. During these weeks of Lent, we review the cosmic battle between God and the devil. The devil tempts Jesus to sin, and Jesus drives him away with God's word. Jesus drives demons out of people. He displays his power over the powers of hell. He enters into the devil's stronghold and destroys his weapons. That's what is recorded for us in the four Gospels. Now, while demon possession is not that common where we live, the power of the devil and the need to do battle against him is very real. But doing battle is against the rules. I learned this many years ago. The rules of religious niceness require that we treat all religious claims as equally valid. You believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and should we believe something different, even contradictory, the rules of religious niceness require that all of our beliefs be regarded as equally valid and true, because who is to say whose religion is false? Who is to say whose religion is true? We are left with nothing but religious feelings and notions. We have nothing solid on which to rely. There's no truth to confess, for which to contend, upon which we can take our stand. There's nothing but fleeting religious feelings. But the facade of religious niceness is just that. Underneath the covering is the sinful nature common to all of humanity, and that's the source of all suffering and death in this world. And either your religion will deal with the root cause of our troubles, or it will paper it over. When you examine the popular religion of niceness, you see that it has no substance. But when we deal with such things as sin and death, we must be very serious. We can't base what we believe on our own personal preferences and feelings. It was personal feelings that led Adam and Eve into sin in the first place. If our faith is to be based on a solid foundation, it cannot be based on us. For if the truth of our religion is grounded in us, then we become our own gods, setting our own rules, making up our own standards, and defining our own truth. Jesus Christ is the one who speaks to us from God, and it is his words that determine for us what we believe and how we live and what we hope and on what we will rest our confidence when facing death. Jesus speaks the truth, and he doesn't back away from it. When he was slapped and mocked and tortured, he uttered not one word of complaint. But when his teaching was assaulted, he answered, and he did so clearly. If I tell the truth, he said. Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. They insult him. They call him names. They call him a Samaritan. He ignores the insult. After all, Samaritans were despised by the Jews, and the prophet Isaiah wrote of Jesus, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Isaiah 53, verse 3. They said he had a demon. Well, Jesus replied to that, because that was no mere insult. To suggest that he had a demon was to accuse him of lying. Jesus replied, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Notice how Jesus constantly directs the argument back to his word. What he says is what matters. What he teaches is paramount. And why is that? Because, as Jesus says, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. To keep Christ's word is to believe it. It is to hold on to it. It is to guard it. It is to set it against anything and everything that might oppose it. It is to be willing to fight for it. The church is at war, and so is every Christian. We call the church in heaven the church triumphant. The church in heaven has no battles to fight. There's no sin there. There's no death. No evil can enter in. The church in heaven has won the victory over sin and death and hell. She can rest. As we sing, they now enjoy their Sabbath rest, the paschal banquet of the blessed. Heaven is called a resting place. The war is over. The battle is won. But the church on earth is at war. She is the church militant. She's at war with the devil, and she must always contend for the pure doctrine. Jesus does battle for teaching. When it comes to our life, we ought to imitate Jesus and tolerate abuse and lies. But when it comes to our doctrine, we should also imitate Jesus and suffer nothing against the truth, because that is all in all. And modern theology argues against truth. Don't contend for pure doctrine. That will only lead to division and strife, they say, as if those who are indifferent to the truth of God's word are any less contentious or disagreeable than those who love God's truth. But when we contend for the truth, we're not engaging in carnal battles. This is a spiritual battle. Jesus contends for two related truths that are actually two sides of the same coin, as he does verbal battle with the Jewish leaders who rejected him. He teaches that his words give eternal life, and he teaches that he is true God. Jesus claims that Abraham saw his day, and he did. Abraham trusted in Jesus. 2,000 years before Jesus was born, Abraham saw Jesus by faith. As he looked at the ram offered as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah in place of his son Isaac, Jesus' claim to true deity is impossible to miss in St. John chapter 8. God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush as I am. That's the name God gave himself. When Moses asked him for his name, he said, I am who I am. He told Moses to tell Israel, I am, sent him. And here Jesus declares, before Abraham was, I am. We who are familiar with the account of the Exodus can see here that Jesus is claiming to be God in the flesh. Jesus is true God. He does his Father's will. He speaks his Father's words. He honors his Father. The Father and the Son work together. When Jesus speaks, it is with the authority of the Father. And his words give life. Jesus says, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. No wonder he fights for doctrine so fiercely. It's a matter of life and death. To contend for the truth of Jesus' word isn't to do battle for our own ego or pride. It is to contend for the faith by which we are rescued from eternal death. Christ's words are his teaching. He isn't talking about words as mere sounds, but words as they convey meaning. They are true, and they provide us with instruction from God himself. When we talk about Christian doctrine or teaching, we're not talking about the wisdom of men. It isn't what clever theologians have crafted. It is God's word we are talking about. We don't contend for, fight for, hold on to, and guard the doctrines of men. Men have opinions that may be right or wrong. We rather fight for the doctrine of God and keep it. We don't let it go, and we don't let anything deny it or bring it into doubt. The gospel gives what it says. And how can this be? How is it that the Christian gospel is true and all other ways to God lead only to death? How can Christ alone be the way, the truth, and the life? What is it about Jesus that makes him the only one who can actually give us life beyond the grave? He is the Almighty God. He has life to give. Only God can give life. Jesus is God. Jesus can give life. More than that, Jesus has won for us the life he gives us. This is the center of all Christian doctrine. This is the truth that shines the light on every other bit of truth God has to reveal to us. The heart and center of the true faith is that Jesus has won for us the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life, and he gives this to us freely as a gift. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. He gives it to us in our unworthiness. The only way to receive it is to believe it, and that's what it means to keep his words. We hold them. We believe them. We will not let them go. The religion of niceness claims that it is wrong to condemn the false religions of the Jews, the Muslims, the Mormons, the Buddhists, the Hindus, various animists and pantheists, as well as freethinkers, agnostics, atheists, and others who reject the true Christian religion. All religions are of equal value, it says. But all religions other than the Christian faith fail in what is absolutely essential. They cannot deliver from death. Jesus is the God become man, and he is the only man who ever died for the sin of the world. He is the only man who bore in his own body the sins of all humanity. He is the only one who obeyed perfectly. He is the only one who fully satisfied the demands of God's law, and he did so by being more than nice. He loved with a pure and perfect love that was willing to bear all things for the sake of others in need. Jesus is the only one who raised himself from the grave. In short, Jesus is the only one who has eternal life to give. He alone earned it. He alone can give it. Whoever keeps his word shall never see death. This is why we hold on to his word for dear life and suffer nothing and no one to take it away from us. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This is brought to you every week by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. I'd like to offer a correction in the time of our services. Due to the flood and the swelling of the Red River, we will begin our summer schedule the Sunday after Easter. So the Sunday after Easter, we'll have divine service at Evanger in Fertile at 8 o'clock, Grace in Crookston at 9:30, and First American in Mayville at 11:30. But prior to that, we'll have divine service at 8 o'clock at First American in Mayville, 10:30 at Grace in Crookston, and 12 o'clock noon at First Evanger in Fertile. Maundy Thursday service, 7 o'clock in the evening at Grace in Crookston. Good Friday service, 7 o'clock in the evening at First American in Mayville. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.